Lieutenant General Robert L. Eichelberger and his 8th United States Army salute.
Des Moines, Iowa, the industrial capital of the agricultural state.
Hawkeye State in the heart of America, to the greatest farming country in the world, to Iowa. We bring by transcription 6 native sons and an American Red Cross girl, all now serving in the occupation of Japan.
This is your program, Iowa, and all the people waiting here to speak to you are yours. 8,000 miles away, but still yours.
Born and reared in your fertile valleys, swam in your lakes and hunted in your woods. Carried their best girls' books to your schools and married their best girls in your churches. Grew up to build their own homes in healthy Hawkeye towns like Ames, Perry, Mason City, Marshalltown, Cedar Rapids, Iowa Falls, and Des Moines.
This is a neighborly chat with some of your best neighbors, Des Moines. We want them to tell you how they're making out among these strange people of Japan, and what sort of work they're doing in the occupation. Two of our guests are members of the famous 1st Cavalry Division. And what's more, we also have the famous 1st Cavalry Band to give our salute an extra snap. Master Sergeant Frank Schaefer is in charge of the band, and Tech Sergeant Roy Ballou weighs the baton. Okay, start waving, Sergeant Ballou. We're off with Flatbush Flanagan.
Thank you.
Iowa is not only famous for its farming products and its rich farming land. No, sir. The Hawkeye State is also a great place for big, old-fashioned American families. Now, you take Mrs. Ida Schmidt's family in Mason City, for instance. Six strapping sons have been brought up by Mrs. Schmidt in her Mason City home out on 8th Street. And one of them, T4 Richard D. Schmidt, is standing here right now waiting to say hello to his own family and all his brother's families living in and around Mason City. Say, tell us, Schmitty, what does your mother do when she has a complete family reunion? Hire a hall?
Oh, no, Dave. We have a big table. Something resembles a boarding house table.
And you bring down another leaf from the attic and put it in the table.
About three, Dave.
I see. Well, when you and your wife, Thelma, and all your brothers and wives get together, it must be some congregation. Schmitty has two little boys. What did you say you called them, Schmitty?
Butch and Doc, Dave.
Butch and Doc, eh?
Schmitty, it sounds like the Schmidt family used to have some grand feasts at those family reunions. Now, how are you making out over here in Japan for fancy dinners? Have you been invited to any of these Japanese homes yet?
Yes, Mitch, I was invited out to one. They serve a dry rice as a main dish, with all the side dishes being fish. And they serve some type of vegetable that resembles our rice, a taste, and they serve it with a soy sauce. I can't say I'm too crazy for it.
No steaks and pies and other good American dishes, huh?
Oh,
well,
nothing like mother's.
It's nothing like mother's. No, I'm sure of that. It's pretty cold in those Jap houses, though. How do they keep warm while they're eating this stuff, Smitty?
Well, Dave, they have a little pit in the floor that you put your feet in. They have a charcoal pot at the bottom. You throw a quilt over your laps, sit there with all set around with your feet in this pit.
And that's what they get for not having any central heating, huh? Their houses are quite different from ours, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They make small board frames and plaster them on the outside and the inside board.
No wonder it's so cold in there.
Well, Smitty, were you down in the warmer parts of the Pacific before you came up here to Japan?
Yes, I was, Mitch. I was on Luzon in the Philippines for about 3 or 4 months.
What'd you do down there, Schmitty?
I was with the 43rd Division in Ordnance. I haul ordnance supplies to and from Manila to Cabana, Tawara.
Well, our Red Cross girl served in Luzon, too, Schmitty. She's a Bedford girl, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Allen W. Hamlin. Her father's editor of the Bedford Times Press, and she herself used to be a photographer and feature writer for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Her full name is Dora Jane Hamlin, but everybody over here calls her just Dodie. Listen, Dodie, for the last 2 months, we've all been shaken with a cold up here in Japan. How about bringing back some warm memories of those Philippines? Tell us what you did for the Red Cross, will you?
When I was in the Red Cross in the Philippines, Dave, I was in the public relations office. I traveled around throughout most of the Philippine Islands covering Red Cross activities and Red Cross people.
Public relations, that's a real fancy name for newspaper reporter.
Yeah,
I think,
that's a very fancy name.
Where were you on Luzon? In Manila?
I was in Manila, stationed there, and moved out from there. Got in toward the end of March, and all the commotion was over, except for a few snipers in the walled city.
Dodie, a newspaper girl with a newspaper father. Sounds like you were born with that printer's ink in your blood. Did you study journalism school or college?
Yes, Mitch, I studied journalism at Coe College in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and then I was a year at Northwestern University in Evanston.
Well, I bet you had a lot of fun back in those college days.
Oh, those were great days.
Where'd you go?
Well, we went, when I was in college, we went most time to Playmore or Danceland in Cedar Rapids.
I see a spark of recognition in Brother Schmidt's eyes on that Danceland. What about that, Smitty?
So I've attended that dance hall quite often myself. They used to have some kind of crazy tournaments there, I'd call them, maybe. They had a shoe-kicking contest the night I attended it once. Maybe you...
I won a husband-calling contest one night, Smitty. No shoe-kicking for me.
A husband-calling contest.
You bet.
Well, I insist on a repeat performance. Don't he back off about 4 feet, and let's hear you win a husband-calling
contest. Well, you better
the
rest of you guys back off, too. Here I go.
Here we go.
And room!
Boy, what'd you get for that?
I got a rolling pin. And all the Henrys within 5 miles, I might add.
Well, that's well.
Dodie, here in Japan, are you still working as a reporter, or what's your job?
Yes, I'm still a reporter, Mitch. Now I'm trying to cover the new angles of Red Cross service. They aren't particularly new, actually, except that there is an increased emphasis on recreation because the boys have much more leisure time now than they had before. We have, for instance, Red Cross girls in each of the 8th Army Special Services hotels. And our latest angle is a club car, which we hook onto troop trains to entertain the boys on their long ride.
Sounds like great work. We also have a first cavalryman here from Ames, and I want to bring him in the show right now. He comes from a big Iowan family just like yours, Schmitty. In fact, his mother, Mrs. Nellie Butler, spanked and brought up 5 sons and 2 daughters, and they're all married, and they all have families of their own in and around the Des Moines area. Morris Butler, come on over here and tell us something about your days back in Iowa. I understand you did a lot of fishing back there in the Des Moines River. Is that right?
Yes, I did considerable fishing in the Des Moines River and the river surrounding Des Moines there.
Well, let's have a good fishing story. What was your biggest catch?
Well, the largest fish I caught was around 5 pounds, I'd say.
Ooh, that sounds pretty good. Well, where'd you work in Ames when you weren't on these fishing trips?
Worked for the Ames Daily Tribune.
I see. Well, did you ever meet up with Dodie there in any of your printing offices?
No, I never run on to her. She was telling me about the Cedar Rapids Gazette, but I don't believe I ever heard of it.
Oh, now, wait a minute, young man. They read names, don't they?
Just the Ames paper.
Oh, I see.
Lenny tells us he's hoping to go back to the old job with the Milwaukee Railroad. Have you got any special post-war plans up your sleeve?
Well, first thing when I get home, my wife and I and little girls want to take a vacation. And then I have 2 things in mind. I can either go back in the newspaper business or I kind of like to go in business for myself in the restaurant business.
Well, Mari, we wish you that you and Smitty both the best of luck in whatever post-war ventures you undertake. And we want to do a little more than that. This month, Morris and his wife, Geraldine, are observing their 9th wedding anniversary, as well as the 8th birthday of their little girl, Donna Lou. So especially for Geraldine and Donna Lou Butler at 1223 14th Street in Des Moines, the First Cab Band wants to play Goodnight Wherever You Are. And Sergeant Larry Kegler is going to put the dedication into words.
Good night, wherever you are. May your dreams be pleasant dreams wherever you are. If only one little wish that I wish comes true, I know that the angels will watch over you. Good night, wherever you are. I'll be with you, dear, no matter how near I fall. Thank you.
you've walked into the trust department of the Iowa Des Moines National Bank and Trust Company back in the old days before the war and asked for some advice and help in drawing up your will or administering your estate, a tall, dark-haired young fellow with a pleasant smile might have stepped up to take care of you. He's wearing an Army uniform now, and a lot has happened to him over here in the Pacific. But he's still got that friendly smile, and you'd still recognize him as Jim County of 675 48th Street in the Roosevelt District of Des Moines. Sergeant County, where'd you first see action in the Pacific?
I arrived overseas and landed on White Beach, which is near Tocloban Lady, on March 6, 44, rather 1945. I joined the 40th Division, the 108th Infantry Regiment, at Ormoc Lady on March 15th. I immediately went on into combat operations and reconnaissance patrols throughout the island of Lady.
Where did you go from Lady, Jim?
Fortunately for me, I was transferred in June to Headquarters 8th Army and was assigned duty with the finance section.
And then you came to Japan.
That's right.
And what are you doing now here in Japan? Still with the finance?
No, I think I've even had a better break yet. I'm now acting as more or less assistant club manager of the officers' club here in Yokohama.
Sounds like a good deal to me. Tell us more about it.
Well, I have quite a bit to do, and I couldn't tell all my duties in 30 minutes, but the main ones consist of buying the supplies and arranging the orchestras and taking charge of the supervision of the Japanese staff of servants we have.
Well, that's swell. I understand Des Moines originated night baseball, Jim. You tell us anything about that?
Well, my father and I wouldn't be classed as large stockholders in the company. Between the two of us, we had two shares of stock.
Two shares, huh?
But it was quite a thing, and Des Moines became quite famous. It was started in the middle 1920s, and it was immediately quite a success. And it went, I understand now, as far as the major leagues, and it's proved a tremendous boom to their attendance records, too.
I see, Jim. Have you made any special post-war plans for yourself and your family, Jim?
Well, my wife's going to meet me in San Jose, California, with the two kiddies, and frankly, I'm counting the days till we get there, and we're going to have a long family reunion.
That sounds good.
Jim, a lot of Des Moines GIs over here are counting on a reunion and a vacation when they get home. So let's look ahead to those good times as the First Cab Band colors their dreams with something called Autumn Serenade. Thank you.
Seems to us just about as typical of Iowa and his whole way of life as anybody could be. Like so many Hawkeye boys, he met his best girl in school. He says he just took one look at her and knew right away she was the one. All through school, they were seen together at McDonald's drugstore or at the church picnic in Biola Park. And last summer, they announced their engagement. Miss Betty Rothfuss out in Boulton surely knows who we're talking about, and probably Mr. and Mrs. Omer Bennett at 1611 Fifth Street in Perry have guessed by now this Hawkeye boy's name is Elmer R. Bennett. After you and Betty get married, what are you going to do, Elmer? Take up farming or work for the railroad?
Well, Dave, I have either of the two choices, but unfortunately I was one of the 18-year-olds at the Army grad right away, and that interrupted my career.
Say, Elmer, you said you had two choices. You might be a little undecided about farming. I bet George Kennedy here might be able to offer you some advice on the question. George has done a lot of farming up in Hardin County, near his home in Iowa Falls, the Phoenix City. What sort of crops did you farm, George?
Well, raised lots of corn and wheat and oats in Iowa Falls.
What do you think of these Japanese farmers over here, George?
I think they're about 1,000 years behind, Iowa. They raise a little rice and sugar beet.
Say, Tim, there's a fellow up there in the band who's been waving a trumpet at me like he wants to get in on this Iowa confab. Come on over here, soldier, and join the party. Maybe he wants to tell me about George's crack about the Japanese farmer.
Well, no wonder. That's Chuck Flanders. Come on over here, Chuck. We almost forgot you there, didn't we? Well, Chuck, tell us something about your playing the horn here for the school. You used to play for your school back there, didn't you?
Well, yes. I played for Roosevelt High for 3 years. Then I played a few nightclubs around town, too.
Well, where was that?
Well, I played at the Pastime for a while, Club 100, and then about once a week at the Tromar Ballroom.
Well, that's really swell. I'm glad we got you over here to the mic. Hey, tell us about it.
That gives me a good idea about playing, and Chuck being a trumpeter. Chuck, you go back up there and join with this wonderful First Cab band. We're going to prove they have plenty of musical moolah with Southern Pride. And Chuck Flanders, the Des Moines boy, will be featured on that silver trumpet of his.
Thank you.
Half hour, we brought you a transcribed visit with six of your native sons and an American Red Cross girl, all now serving with Lieutenant General Robert L. Eichelberger's 8th United States Army in Japan. You've heard music by the famous 1st Cavalry Band under the direction of Master Sergeant Frank Schaefer. Now, on behalf of all the Hawkeye sons and the occupation forces, we say so long, Iowa. We'll be seeing you.